Jordan Spiegel Spiegel Spogan. By the way, I just started recording, Roger.
What the hell just flipped off my UPS?
Whoa, what's that? What's that noise? Try to get Mr. Young in here.
AC that flipped it.
It's a bim bam day, Roger. Bim bam. Bing bang. Bang boong boong. One thing to another. Bang 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 bang.
Spiegel, Spiegel, Spiegel.
That's why we are saying things that sound vaguely German but are in fact in no way actually German. So please don't take offense, German speakers. Burton Legan Mountain Bogan.
Yo, what's up?
We are the recordings.
Yeah, man. Sorry about that. I got caught up talking to my wife.
How is your lovely wife?
Great. Very exciting times.
You know, it's safe to say, I don't feel like I'm going on a limb saying that you and your wife are two of my favorite people on the planet.
Aw. Well, that's very, very nice. And I think we would very easily say the same thing about you and your wife.
Oh, stop.
What's his wife's name?
Iris.
Despite his confrontational tone, Roger is also one of my favorite people.
What's my wife's name?
Mrs. Chang.
Yeah. The mother of your child. That's who. We went to go to Whole Foods to go get some food.
Mm-hmm.
And the city is awash with revelry.
Yeah. Warriors.
Warriors.
Just before anyone starts sending me email, I'm not a Warriors fan. I'm not bandwagoning. I was just saying that contributing to the celebratory mood.
I am happy because my city is happy.
Yes.
I live in Oakland. I enjoy when the city of Oakland is happy.
Now, my wife, Iris.
Yes.
She is a longtime Warriors fan. She used to go in the 90s to the Warriors games.
When they had that crappy, weird logo.
I remember she took me to a Warriors game just as they were starting to begin their turnaround, but it was still when their slogan was Golden State, it's a great timeout.
Yeah.
She has suffered along with Mr. Kanata through the dark days of the Golden State Warriors. So she asked very nicely, she's like, can we turn on the final tonight? The other night. And I was like, yeah, of course. And so I'm watching it, and she's, you know, she's enjoying it. She's happy. And then at the end, once the game was over, you know, and they're on the court celebrating, I was like, do you want to watch the post game? She's like, well, yeah. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize how into it we were, because she wasn't like jumping up and down.
Do it. No, seemed like a great time. Obviously, I was not able to see the speeches and everything. But plenty of fun stuff, including Nike paying a squadron of Skyriders to write rapid fire messages in the air. Check Whoa. My Snapchat, Justin R. Young on Snapchat, to see it in action. But it looks weird. It almost looks like a dot matrix printer. They had four Skyriders that were all in formation and were just writing out like the each part of a letter. Like it wasn't one plane writing.
Oh, wow. Debate this.
Which is the slogan for Kevin Durant.
Uh-huh.
It's been a controversial hot topic this season because of his choice to go to the Golden State Warriors, who are already a championship team, adding one of the best players in the league. But that was there. They aired a commercial right after they won.
I actually got in the tiniest of beefs. I wouldn't even call it beef. It's more like carpaccio with Kuhan, because of my sort of offhanded remark in response to Kanato trying to defend people or, you know, accusing the Warriors of stacking the deck or cheating. And I was like, don't worry, Jeff. Those small market teams like the Knicks and Clippers just, you know, can't compete with Oakland. And Kuhan was like, that's an unfair comparison. Yeah, San Francisco market is one of the fifth. I'm like, oh, no, Kuhan, you're absolutely right. Like, they are a big market in Golden, you know, because they have the whole thing to themselves. But I just think it's funny that I think of like, oh, it's the Yankees, right? The Yankees are the ones, or the Lakers back in the day. You're like, oh, they've got all the money. I don't consider Golden State to have a lot of money. It's
like they didn't. This is my defense of the Warriors. And by the way, I'm a Miami Heat fan. I am for blatant robber baron stacking the deck with money and ego. Like, I am the happiest I've ever been is the LeBron, Bosh, Wade super team. I
have no NBA team. I grew up with St. Louis, didn't have a team. I rooted for college basketball. So, yeah, carry on.
There are only two teams that I've ever cared about in basketball, and that is the Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, Miami Heat that got into the famous fracas with the New York Knicks and then got summarily decimated by the Chicago Bulls back in the 90s. And then when I went to Syracuse, I obviously got into basketball there because basketball is very big in Syracuse. So I root for the Syracuse Orangemen and the Miami Heat. And I was happy that when I moved from Miami to Oakland, I only live in cities with super teams. Like that's just how I roll. I left Miami replete with super teamdom, came to Oakland as they built their super team.
I grew up trying to be an NBA fan. I was actually, I'm not saying this to get any credit. I decided to be a Golden State Warriors fan for 1 year in the late 70s, and then decided that was a dumb move because I didn't know anything about the team and couldn't follow them. Then I became a Milwaukee Bucks fan because I could actually read about them in the St. Louis paper sometimes. But then I gave that up. Then I decided I was going to be an Atlanta Hawks fan because the St. Louis Hawks had moved to Atlanta and become the Atlanta Hawks. But then I never actually followed them. And then in college, I sort of followed the Bulls because everybody in college was from Chicago and it was the Jordan years. But I didn't really become a Bulls fan. And then my wife was a Lakers fan growing up and a Warriors fan after she moved to San Francisco in the 90s. But neither one of those have stuck either. So I don't know.
Well, you know, there is a tech angle to this.
Yeah.
Because allegedly, part of what made Kevin Durant's decision to come to the Golden State Warriors even easier was because he had become fixated on his 360 world. Investments. He is an investor in Postmates.
Okay.
Apparently is so tight with Apple's Eddie Q that he watched the election from the widow Jobs's house.
Wow.
With Eddie Q.
I would assume Carl Malone would also be an investor in Postmates.
All right. Oh, come on. Jeez. I mean, at that rate, you know, John Stockton should be investing in MeUndies with that short shorts.
Sure.
For the record, I'm a MeUndies subscriber. If MeUndies came out with John Stockton, I'd be so excited.
Really? You're a MeUndies subscriber? I didn't know that.
I am. I realized all my underwear was falling apart.
So yeah.
I'll roll for a little while with this MeUndies thing.
I wish I had tagged my... This is going to sound really weird. I wish I had tagged my underwear was about what I was going to say. I wish I knew what of my underwear is from when. Because it all kind of looks the same. And I don't know, like, has any of it survived? Because, you know, when it wears out, I throw it away and occasionally buy new underwear like anybody does. But I wonder, like, is any of this, like, really old? Like, Austin era underwear that's just survived? Because I don't pay attention.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm reading. Apparently Instagram is awash in pettiness. Draymond Green decided to wear at the parade in the font of Quicken,
mm-hmm.
which Quicken Loans Arena is named for, and the owner of the Cavs is the owner of the Quicken Company, decided to his shirt instead says Quickie, reflecting the fact that the
five games
series only went five games, to which LeBron took the picture, posted it on Instagram, and said, "That's what she said, huh?" I mean,
all right,
you're out in five games, dude. Come on, we're really going to "That's what she said."
I mean, it's a almost innocent response, right? It's not escalating it or anything.
Although it was also revealed today that LeBron has finally given up his long, fraught battle with his hairline, and has finally decided to just shave his head.
Yeah, I'm waiting for. I would have thought I would be at that day already. That's what I've said for years. It's like once the balding kicks in, but look, it kind of just stopped.
Yeah, no, you beat LeBron, dude.
I did.
Congratulations.
I remember back at Buzz Out Loud, I had a patch you could see in the overhead camera. I'm like, yep, 10 years, I'll be... No, apparently not.
Just kind of stopped right there, huh?
Yeah. In fact, it's not as bad as it used to be. Maybe I'm Benjamin Button.
Hello, sorry.
What happened, Roger?
I had to talk to Francisco.
Oh, I thought you were just bored by all our basketball talk.
No, it's my sprinkler thing. Remember my sprinkler problems?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see if he could do anything about it. I said, oh.
Sprinkler problems.
He said he'll try replacing the valve.
Oh, nice.
Thing in it to see if it stops it. And then it's like, well, you can put in your bill or I can pay for it separately or just.
Yep.
Honestly, I don't want to mess with stuff I haven't dealt with that's so crucial to not flooding the street with water that I have to pay out every month. The stakes are high, and they're not
going to get it fixed. That's the thing. That's why I'm doing the live stream early today, because of the air conditioner repairman.
Well, I'm also doing that with...
There was a part of me that really felt like I should be able to figure out what the problem was and fix it myself.
And oh, then yeah, another totally.
Part of me. Another part of me said, Tom, that's probably true, but it's a waste of your money. Pay the guy who can fix it fast to come and do it.
Actually, for me, like, it's like my garage door. The garage door opener, the one that goes in your car, the clicker was busted. And I thought, oh, it's just the battery, so I'll replace it. Didn't do anything. So I just bought a new remote for $20 off Amazon.
I mean, yeah, if it's an obvious fix, I will fix it myself. But when it's like, well, I could go down a rabbit hole and spend all day and waste. When I'm wasting time, I'm wasting my own money. So.
Well, I figured out what it would take to replace that, and I didn't want to do it because I basically would have to saw off the PVC pipes off the old valve, and then I would have to get new ones and find them the right height and then cement them using the PVC cement, that purple glue gunk. It's just basically I didn't want to do it, and partially not just
but that's time you won't be spending doing other things. That's
yes, like resting or playing with my kid or
looking for another job.
Yes. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Resting is important.
Also, I gotta clean this place. It's really bugging me. I just haven't gotten around to it. I mean, I clean bits here and there, but man, a house is so much more.
Did you ever get around to it? Did anyone ever give you one of those?
No.
That was like a big joke novelty item. I remember when we'd go on vacation, it'd be in all the souvenir shops. It'd be a wooden round fake coin with the word "to it" on it.
I used to be enamored by like souvenirs at different locations. It's like you can buy all this stuff online.
But you get it, right? The round. Yeah. When I get a round.
It's like a jump to conclusions, Matt.
Yeah.
Remember, you just jumped.
Are you going live right now, or
yeah, what? We're live.
No, for the show. Oh yeah, for the show. Right, here we go.
Yeah,
cool.
You about ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to roll.
Are you done reading your stories?
I have.
And by that I mean your soap operas.
My what?
Your soap operas. All right, here we go. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, June 15th. Is that the Ides of June 2017? I'm Tom Merritt. Justin Robert Young sitting alongside from the heart of the Warriors celebration. Justin.
Indeed. Well, maybe right off. Maybe one of the arteries. A main artery, though. Into the
vena cava of the Warriors celebration.
But yeah, right around the lake here where we live in Oakland, California, was the spot of much revelry as the Golden State Warriors took their parade to Oakland for one of the few final times, you know, since the Warriors are moving back to San Francisco. Back
the
to
city, city, as they say.
From the town to the city. But happy days today.
Well, folks, we are going to talk about potential happy days for Slack investors. Amazon is apparently nosing around, interested in acquiring Slack. Remember, there were rumors Microsoft was, but they didn't, and they launched their own version instead with Microsoft Teams. But let's start off with a few other tech things you should know. Google announced a new app called Backup and Sync that can monitor and backup files in any directory you choose. So not just the drive directory, but you can point it at your root directory if you want. Backup and Sync app comes out June 28th.
That seems very helpful. You know, I think backup is you know, having more and more ways to backup is always good. And I think we are entering in a world where storage is so cheap that it will become the responsible thing to have multiple cloud backups of as much as you can possibly.
Everybody wants to be your hard drive mirror, it looks like. Box is coming out with its new desktop app. Dropbox just did a redesign of its online interface. Like the competition's heating up.
Netflix is now planning to participate in the internet-wide day of action to save net neutrality on July 12th, protest organizers said today.
Yeah, so Netflix had been off the list, and people had pointed to Reed Hastings' comments that net neutrality was not a big problem for them anymore. Saying they're big now, they don't care. What it seems like was Netflix wanted to make sure its investors understood that it wouldn't be shafted and have costs be driven up if net neutrality guidelines changed. But now they're saying, but we still believe in the open internet guidelines and we're going to support it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You mean everything could be a little bit more complicated than just putting things in a super hashtag woke Twitter post?
No, not these days. Huh. Facebook published a list of 7 hard questions, speaking of complicated, regarding what should be allowed on a social network and seeking the audience's feedback. At hardquestions@fb.com. They're taking your email suggestions. A blog post addressing the first of the questions describes how Facebook uses AI to find and remove posts related to terrorism.
So this is very, very fascinating. The more I read about it, the more I was interested in it. I know that this was something that really tickled your fancy when we were going over the stories before the show. But there's 2 things here. Number one, that's a pretty full inbox for people just, you know, complaining to Facebook about things, because I am sure there are plenty of hard questions that people would like to see Facebook answer. I hope that they continue to answer ones that are very hard for them to answer and therefore interesting for the people that use its service, and not necessarily this important, though it may be, a kind of demonstration of how they are doing good. But to the terrorism thing, they're using some really clever stuff here, right?
Yeah, no, they're doing some machine intelligence to find clustering and identify videos and images. And essentially, the point of that post is to say, we don't even involve people in a lot of this. We don't wait for someone to report it. We go out proactively and find it. Now, granted, this is the first post related to this before they've even got a lot of the questions. So they just assumed, okay, you're going to want to know about terrorism. We know that. That's a huge part of this. But I do like that they're saying, you know, after a person dies, what should happen to their online identity? Is social media good for democracy? How can we use data for everyone's benefit without undermining people's trust? Those are hard questions, and I like the fact that they're putting it out there. I'm interested to see further answers here.
Yes, and I hope that everybody goes to see it. And all that data becomes even clearer on exactly how to serve ads to us. Free roaming between all 28 current EU member states went into effect Thursday. Some limits apply for inexpensive plans or unlimited plans, but most customers will see no difference from using their home plans.
Yeah, the big dream is alive as long as you're within the 28 countries, someday soon to be 27 countries. But yeah, this is what we've had within the United States for a long time. Not mandated by law. It just kind of happened. Do you remember when you used to roam? I remember being in New Mexico and realizing, I'm roaming. And this was voice days, not even data days.
Yeah. You know, I that was always one of those I guess I was always in some weird place. I was never like in, I live in Miami and now I went to Charlotte and it's like, I'm roaming now in Charlotte. It was always, I'm going camping and now I'm on some weird roaming network.
Yeah, it was in very, you know, usually the mountain states is where I would run into it because you need a different kind of company to cover sparsely populated areas.
Back when Tom and I were running Shine in Appalachia, times found ourselves roaming.
Listen, Justin, you don't get coverage in Harlan without Roman. Texas woman who was raped by her Uber driver in India has filed a lawsuit against not only Uber, but also Travis Kalanick himself and two former Uber executives for intrusion into private affairs, public disclosure of private facts, and defamation. She alleges that Eric Alexander, a former Uber executive, convinced his fellow executives that her 2014 rape account might have been part of a conspiracy by a rival ride-hailing company. Likely they meant Ola. Alexander is accused of obtaining and discussing the woman's medical records. An Uber spokesman said on Thursday, "No one should have to go through a horrific experience like this, and we're truly sorry that she's had to relive it over the last few weeks." So if you haven't followed this story, at the time that this was made public, Uber cooperated and expressed sympathy. But what this case is saying is that behind the scenes, Uber executives were trying to figure out if it was a conspiracy instead. Now, they didn't go public with it until it was leaked and the New York Times did a story on it. And now that it's been made public, she is stepping forward and suing them again. Just another in the horrible week that Uber has had to go through. Now, granted, that's not as horrible as what this woman had to go through. Oh, and I'm not trying to belittle that. But Uber didn't need this to happen this week either. And yet, it's past seeds that they have sowed coming back to roost, to mix a metaphor.
Sure, yeah. And just so, again, we are very, very clear. This is a horrifying, awful thing that no one should ever go through. She deserves to sue Uber, and I hope that Uber decides to settle with her and make...
And the least of her considerations will be how bad the press has been for Uber this week. We get that.
Yes. So, yeah. So, her return, save document, print to PDF, email to the world, new document... This is a bad week for Uber PR-wise, in one that they would have hoped the stories would be about the new Uber, right? I was speaking to people around the company, to people close to the situation who joked that this week was supposed to be Uber 2.0. Unfortunately, they had to rush patch to 2.1. There's a real problem that Uber needs to begin to deal with, which is the poison seed in this story is that not only was there a toxic culture within Uber when it came to running their people too hard, that trickled down to how they treated their drivers, but also there was an intense paranoia. And I can understand on some level where that comes when you are fighting governments and you are fighting taxi unions and you are fighting lobbies that are entrenched and you feel you have to resort to guerrilla warfare to combat if you are going to bring your product to the people that want it. However, there was obviously a very, very troubling side effect to that. And that includes technology used to evade well within the law, law enforcement, where people were trying, law enforcement was trying to track them when they were, by their own admission, breaking the law until they were forcing an issue politically. And stuff like this, where instead of taking this kind of claim at face value and trying to deal with it, it became a no, that they're out to get us, whoever they are.
Yeah. And Uber is being run by committee right now because most of these people are gone. Eric Alexander and Michael, the other one named in this lawsuit, are neither one of them with Uber anymore. Travis Kalanick is on a leave of absence. So this is probably going to continue to happen. Not this exact case, but skeletons from the closet are going to start spilling out more often. And as journalists start to poke around and look for stories and things get uncovered, and the new Uber regime is going to have to continue to deal with that.
2.1. Uber 2.1 will continue to have to deal with it. Although that's not necessarily a bad thing for them, because what they hope is that their reactions to stories like this are markedly different. Because what Uber desperately wants, and what they wanted during that all hands meeting where they have their worshipped CEO, their founder, step down, is that the stories by Christmas are about the new Uber and how this change is making a different company so they can begin to right this ship.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Twitter has launched, speaking of things that are wholly uncontroversial,
sure,
has launched a redesign across its apps and websites. Profile icons are now round, typography is more consistent, and titles like In Case You Missed It are now bold. The reply icon has changed to a conversation bubble. iOS users will have web links open in Safari Viewer, preserving logins and ad blocking, and changes come today on all platforms, including TweetDeck. The Safari thing is important for iOS users, as it used to open in their own home-rolled web, Twitter's home-rolled web browser, which was a pain in the ass.
I mean, it used the Safari engine, but not the viewer. It sounds like splitting hairs, but basically when you use the engine, it doesn't bring over any of the Safari settings with it.
Yeah.
When you use the viewer, it does.
Especially when I click on a link to read Dave Meltzer's newsletter, and now I got to open it in another thing in Safari so it remembers my password.
Now, yes.
What do you
Say it again.
What do you think of this?
Listen. Our very own Scott Johnson on Twitter said TweetDeck just changed a bunch of his icons. The icons are not the problem with TweetDeck. And honestly, Twitter can't do this right. This redesign is probably a good thing in a normal company. Changing your icons to be more rounded and doing a couple of typography tweaks and bringing your iOS app up to speed with the Android app as far as where things are settings wise should not cause anyone to be angry, right? They haven't changed anything significantly.
Oh, and also the changes design wise are fairly aesthetically pleasing.
But it just goes to show that people are hungry. They are dying for Twitter to change a few things, like being able to edit posts or have better anti-harassment tools. And so anything else that Twitter does, this is like George R. R. Martin going out to lunch and everyone going, why aren't you home working on A Song of Ice and Fire, right? Twitter, no matter what they do, is going to get this response.
That being said, an understanding that there is going to be a lot of Sturm und Drang around Twitter, I have a hard time thinking that the team that was redesigning for better readability and cross-platform uniformity was the same that would work on an edit tweets button or a better suite of harassment tools. This seems like
doing this didn't take any time from the other is what kind of what you're saying.
And also it just kind of reinforces what has become the meme that Instagram is where you tell people that you're on vacation. Facebook is where you tell people that you're getting married. Twitter's where you tell people that the world is dead and you are just dust. But I also watch professional wrestling.
But hey, at least the icons are rounded now. Amazon's Dash Wand barcode scanner now has Amazon Voice Services built in. If you didn't know, the Dash Wand actually preceded the Dash Buttons. It's a UPC code scanner so that you can scan an item and then say, yeah, reorder that item, which is great if you're buying, you know, boxes of cereal or something off of Amazon. The wand will cost you $20, only available in the US right now for Amazon Prime members, but you get $20 in credit. So it ends up being free as long as you use your $20 in credit. You can't use it on digital items. There's some restrictions on it. But if you're shopping enough to make use of the wand, you're likely going to be able to find $20 worth of stuff to get your money back. And you also get 90 days free Amazon Fresh grocery service, which again goes with that UPC code scanning. If you're wanting to buy a bunch of groceries, you might want to try Amazon Fresh grocery service. We talk about Amazon Voice Services going into everything. It certainly makes sense for Amazon to put it in its own products more often.
Certainly so. An Amazon Fresh is something that I use all the time. It is, I think, a very, very good service and has a fairly reliable track record in terms of delivery. This is a great product, in my opinion. You know, I think it's a way for you. I mean, a lot of people use those dash buttons because they just want to leave it in the drawer that has the toilet paper. So by the time they see the button, they hit the button, more toilet paper arrives, right? This is that as a Swiss Army knife for literally anything else that you have. If it's, if you're out of fruit now with the Amazon voice services, you can add, you know, whatever you would normally buy to your list. Otherwise, if it's got a UPC code, you can go ahead and scan it. This is, you know, Amazon wants to get more and more into the perishable food business, and this is a great way for them to continue to do it.
And they want to make it easier and easier for you to buy things from them without having to think about it.
An AI from Microsoft's owned Maluba has achieved a perfect score of 999,990 in Atari 2600's Ms. Pac-Man. The team used reinforcement learning using more than 150 AI agents working in parallel to master the game. A senior manager agent took all the suggestions and decided how to move Ms. Pac-Man. The demonstration, it can it demonstrates that this can perform complex tasks, though the trick will be to translate that into useful real-world tasks. If I were playing Ms. Pac-Man with my reading of that story, I would have gotten eaten by three ghosts.
So this is one of those things that's difficult to achieve, probably more difficult than you think. It's not just that they taught it to play Ms. Pac-Man. Ms. Pac-Man is actually a quite difficult game to master, and that's the key here. It's easy to play, hard to master, and they mastered it. They got a perfect score in Ms. Pac-Man by doing this reinforcement learning, which is one of the new trends in machine learning, and being able to combine agents. One of the things they describe was even it wasn't just most agents are saying go right because that's where the pellet is. The senior manager agent would be able to tell when the majority of agents might be wrong. So if a bunch of agents are saying go right, that's where the pellet is, and three agents are going, ah, but to the right is a ghost that's going to eat you, the senior manager would have enough wherewithal to say, ah, well, I'm going left then. I don't care that most of you are saying going right because you don't know what you're talking about. So it's a more complex thing than I think it probably sounds. And on the other end, it's like, oh, great. Well, if you can teach it to do something really complex like that, it should be able to have lots of real world ability, you know, real world applications. And the fact is, teaching AIs to play games has been more successful than porting that ability over to practical benefits.
That's all I want. I want an AI to go up against Billy Mitchell, the King of Pong.
I will add that Ms. Pac-Man differs from the original Pac-Man in that the patterns of the ghosts, the way they come after you, is completely randomized. In the original Pac-Man, you could...
Atari 2600 or arcade, or does it make a difference?
The arcade. I don't remember if the 2600...
They used the 2600 for this
experiment. That was the big difference, was that the ghosts would come at you at random patterns, while with the Pac-Man, you could memorize each field and say, oh, if I go this way, they'll always be on this side, which makes it even more impressive because it's not just memorizing the game field.
The patterns, good to know. Stack Overflow's 2017 developer survey has a lot of very useful things in it, but it also notes that developers who use spaces instead of tabs earn about £13,000 more per year. That's about $16,000 US. Survey covered close to 26,000 developers. 40.7% of developers use tabs, while 41.8% use spaces and make more money. That means, by the way, if you've done the math, 17.5% refuse to pick a side and actually use both.
This is obviously a tremendously controversial and acerbic argument in the developer community, one that has raged for years and years and years and years and got a mainstream moment in the sun on this season of Silicon Valley.
Yeah. If you don't understand the tabs versus spaces thing, you watch that episode of Silicon Valley.
Yeah. That does a pretty good job of explaining, hey, not only what they are talking about, but also exactly how angry people get when discussing something like this. But that is kind of fascinating. I wonder whether or not it's just company culture at bigger companies.
I don't know. I'm also distracted because P Squared in our live chat room at diamondclub.tv just said, what if I map the tab key to insert five spaces? Which is just going to set off a whole rat hole here. But yeah, I don't know if it's a company culture thing or a personal culture thing. I mean, I imagine certain company cultures will have lead developers who mandate, like, you're doing spaces or you're off my team, right? I wouldn't be surprised.
That's what I would assume. Because to bump it up by that far on average, it would seem like it would have to come from somewhere, that there are a cadre of zealots that are mandating this and therefore pushing that number up over the top.
I mean, but in the annals of GIF versus JIF or Vim as your text, you know, what's your favorite text editor? This is one of the longest running battles. And I generally look at these and I say, you know what? It really is personal preference. This is why humans tribalize, because we look at these things that really don't have a very obvious difference, and we pick a side and we stick to it and we defend it. So most of the time I look at these and I say, you know what? Have your fun debating it, but it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In this case, though, spaces. Come on. It's spaces. You use spaces.
Yeah.
You don't use
tabs. I was going to say, yeah, that's very, very nice. It's a very nice way to make these broke tab users.
Tabs? What are you going to use the break key next? All right. To get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. You don't use backspace, do you? And that's a look at our top stories. Hey, Bloomberg sources say Amazon has made inquiries into acquiring Slack, the business-oriented chat and collaboration client, in case you didn't know about Slack. Slack could be valued at up to $9 billion, according to Bloomberg sources. It was last valued at $3.8 billion during a round of funding last year. Slack has 5 million daily active users, 1.5 million who pay for the service and would fit in Amazon's enterprise offerings like Chime, its video conferencing service. In fact, Rich Straffolino, who helps write Daily Tech headlines and occasionally appears on this show, wrote that in our Slack, that the Amazon buying Slack rumors are interesting because it would fit into not only Chime, which they got in February, but they've acquired some business-focused chat and AI assets last year, like Angel.ai. They could pivot either S3 or Amazon Drive into something with more of a business front end, a la what Box just did, and offer an interesting productivity stack, or, this is the part that really got me up, maybe some kind of Prime subscription for business based around that. You can have an Amazon business account instead of an Amazon personal account. And what if you had Prime for business that gave you access to a bunch of these tools?
Yeah, this is a very, very, very interesting story to me, mainly because I think Amazon and Slack are both very smart companies that I think would work well together. If you look at Amazon's acquisition record, they seem to be the kind of model company that you want to get acquired by. And they are there for your, thanks to AWS, they can power a lot of stuff very cheaply. And they seem to let these companies just sort of do what they were doing before, with maybe a little bit more of an aggressive mindset toward growth. But since Amazon is so profitable in so many different ways, it's not like getting acquired by Facebook, which has done very, very good at preserving the brands that they have acquired as separate entities. But you've already begun to see Pangea sort of come together when it comes to sharing ad stuff, and privacy has been eroded in platforms like Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah, where Facebook is like the food court where you find out that these seven different restaurants are all coming out of one kitchen.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Amazon has done seemingly pretty well by Audible and Twitch, and Slack would be very, very interesting.
Goodreads, yeah.
Goodreads. Here's what I find very, very interesting is where is Slack going from now for the next 5 years? Because they are an enterprise company. They are something that more and more people will use. And the more that they become tied into businesses, which do not like change and tend to lock in to a business solution for not years, but often decades. This is a company that very much could be worth a lot of money going forward. And for Amazon to use it to build their enterprise suite, I think is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, Amazon's largest acquisition to date was Twitch, which they bought for $970 million, call it a billion, at a $10 billion valuation. So Slack would likely not be larger than that, but it would be close to it if we're talking a $9 billion valuation. The other thing about Slack, and fits in with what you're saying, is Slack has a fast approaching ceiling. Well, maybe it's not that fast, but you know what Slack has been wanting to do is sell enterprise versions to larger companies. So IBM, they've got a version that can have tens of thousands of users for IBM. That's their growth opportunity. But at a certain point, they're going to run into people saying, well, I'd love Slack. I prefer Slack, but you don't give me anything else when I buy Slack. I go to Microsoft and I'm going to get Azure and I'm going to get cloud services. I'm going to get Office and I'm going to get Microsoft Teams. And granted, in the meeting, right, I love Slack way more than Teams, but sorry, guys, I got to go with this. So Slack may benefit from Amazon if Amazon can say, hey, we've got AWS and Chime and we've got this whole suite of services. And in fact, Amazon needs that too if they want to compete with Microsoft and Google and others.
And that's what I find so fascinating about Slack. And for all that it deservedly gets as being this very twee, hipster, San Francisco, Silicon Valley little toy that people like to play with, it is a breath of fresh air in what is a very stagnant and commoditized enterprise a suite of stuff. I mean, post-Microsoft really kind of changing the game with their suite of, you know, Word and Excel and stuff like that. Everything past there for 30 years has been about making that stuff cheaper and more available. The entire business model for Google was to take the suite of productivity apps that Microsoft had made an entire career on and to chip away at it bit by bit by making those products free. Now you have something that is markedly different, that is unique, that is being adopted by people because it actually makes their lives easier. And I think you're absolutely 100% right, Tom. This is going to be the play that Slack has to see coming down the road, is that they are never going to be able, the future for them will always be more as the lead dog in a productivity suite that you try to sell businesses on, as opposed to an a la carte offering that, again, although it definitely has its followers and devotees in terms of how well it works, the people that are buying these, the buyers for these major companies, are just going to want more bang for their buck. And you know, if you look at where Slack is now, Slack has 5 million daily active users, 1.5 of whom pay for that service. The average that I found was about $10 a user on average is what that, per user is. So at 1.5 million, it's not an insignificant chunk of change.
Definitely not. And my apologies for the brief absence there. If you're watching the video, AC guy came early. All right, let's finish up with some messages of the day. Scott was asking on yesterday's show how Uber and Lyft drivers felt about driving around passengers with criminal records. In regards to those with drunk driving convictions, as mentioned in the news story about the judge from Ohio, this is actually nothing new. Rideshare drivers get a lot of businesses from those with DUIs or those who are trying to avoid them. These riders are actually some of our best fares since they realize that even with crazy surge multipliers, the cost of an Uber or Lyft is a fraction of the financial impact from a DUI conviction. Drivers are not notified that a passenger has a DUI, by the way. This information has always been volunteered as part of the conversation. Passengers actually are not subject to any sort of screening processes at all. A five-year-old with a manslaughter charge could get an Uber account. This is a source of some contention among drivers who feel that Uber and Lyft are not doing enough to ensure their safety. Everyone advocates for ways to make sure that your Uber driver isn't a rapist or serial killer, but not the other way around. Drivers are largely on their own in cases of assault, with the corporate office getting involved only to issue statements to media organizations. By the time the rating system catches up with an offending passenger, they've likely received multiple reports from multiple drivers. In extreme cases, they may have their account suspended, but it's easy enough to create another one. In short, as a driver, I would definitely like to know if my passenger had some history of violent behavior. As things currently stand, we're left to rely on dash cameras and pepper spray to protect ourselves in the case the worst happens. Sakani Wright, who does our Your Private Driver column, wrote that.
Yeah, that's it's a real problem, and it's a problem of the digital age that we need to continue to be better and better about. But if anything, you're going to look at those issues and say, well, it's only because this has become so prevalent that we have issues like this. And you know, I think that there can be something better done in terms of, like, if you get multiple excoriating ratings or reviews, or there should be some kind of panic button that drivers can hit or something.
Yeah. I don't think people think about that often enough. Like you say, I mean, and it's not bad. I don't think Sakani's saying it's bad to focus on passenger safety, but you need somebody focusing on driver safety too.
You want me to take this next one here?
Yeah, sure. We actually talked about a judge and this is what Sakani was responding to, a judge advocating that drunk drivers, people convicted of drunk driving, should have to install Uber or Lyft and set up an account. It's Judge Mike Chicanetti. And yeah, read this first email because it's somebody who knows Mike.
Well, look at this. Strange to hear something I'm familiar with on the show. Judge Mike, is it Chicanetti?
It's Chicanetti, yeah.
Even though, so he phonetically spells it C-I-C-K-A.
I checked it online with a YouTube story about it.
All right, well, there we go. Chicanetti is a family friend, and he's been in the news for years with unusual sentencing options. Where we live, a taxi can't be flagged down. It's more like making an appointment. I almost always call the day before. So when the bars close, a quick press on their smartphones would probably be easier than calling a cab. Lest you worry, Mike offered someone the option of 30 days in jail or walking 30 miles because they didn't pay a taxi driver. So he's not anti-taxi either. That comes from analyst Chris.
I can't believe that I didn't actually run into this guy's name before or remember it, because apparently he makes the news all the time with these kinds of decisions. In fact, Vaughn from not quite Cleveland, but close enough, said on Wednesday's episode, you mentioned a story about Judge Chicanetti ordering some defendants to download Uber or Lyft. As creative sentences go, this is actually rather tame. As someone who has grown up in his jurisdiction, I've watched with amusement as various sentences of his have gone viral across the country. One thing to note about his creative sentences, however, is they are always voluntary, as in you can choose to serve the normal sentence for the crime, or you can agree to a reduction in the sentence for an exchange for agreeing to one of his creative sentences. Because of his antics, he has a Wikipedia page that lists many of his unique sentences. Some of them are very unusual, but always in some way are tied to the crime that was committed. One of my favorites was when he ordered some teens who flattened all the school's bus tires to host and run a picnic for an elementary class that had their field trip canceled due to the vandalism.
Aw. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Tell you what. Not all heroes wear capes.
That's right. Some of them wear robes. thank you, everybody, for writing in about that. We got a few other emails about Judge Chicanetti. He's a folk hero to some, it seems like. And thank you, Justin Robert Young, for joining us. What else is going on?
Well, you know, we are in the building phases of our Action News Kickstarter, the brand new card game from the folks who brought you The Contender. Much more on that in the coming weeks. But you can go ahead and check me out every single morning on twitch.tv slash Justin R. Young. And yeah, more to come, more in the offing.
Keep an eye out. By the way, thanks to everybody who gives a little value back to this show for the value they get from it at patreon.com/DTNS. We're always trying to find new ways to give you a little something extra for supporting us. If you're a patron at any amount, there is a special episode up right now. It just went up this morning with Steve Gibson from Security Now and GRC.com describing his squirrel system for replacing usernames and passwords. That goes into everybody's feed on Saturday. So if you're not a Patreon supporter, you'll still get it. But you get a little early access if you support us at patreon.com/DTNS. And we thank everybody who does. We're up 5 patrons for the month now. We were only up 1 yesterday. So thanks, everybody, for piling in there. We really appreciate it. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. We're at facebook.com/dailytechnewsshow. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Megan Maroney. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Boom.
Thank you, Justin.
Filibuster, huh?
Well done. Boy, all of that Twitch streaming paid off right there.
Was that the AC guy?
Yeah, he showed up early, which is great.
No, it's not. Show come on, we're trying to do a show.
Titles?
Yes, what are we going to call it?
A horrible, no good, very bad week for Uber.
Maybe.
Ms. Pac-Man becomes sentient. Amazon picking up the slack.
Amazon picking up the slack's pretty good.
Keeping tabs on spaces. Amazon is sweetening, like S-U-I-T-E-ing the deal. Uber instead of Uber. And the toilet paper arrives. 999,990.
That's the perfect score. That's the Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man score.
The King of Kong. Some heroes wear robes.
Alexa. Some heroes wear robes is pretty good too. What do you like, Justin?
By the way, Billy Mitchell, another resident of Broward County, my home area. I used to go to Ricky's Wings, his family's wing establishment, as featured in The King of Kong, quite a bit when I was a boy. I would love to see him go down against an AI, as he is a legendary wiener penis.
He's a what?
A legendary wiener penis in my hometown. He is rude to servers. He's hilariously arrogant. He expects everybody on Earth to know exactly who he is. And that was his reputation before the movie came out.
Oh, wow.
Does he flick his hair back when he's like,
I kind of like Amazon picking up the slack ? I'm good with more, like, I'm just glad we're working in some new companies in, so we can just start wearing out these puns as well.
Yeah, right? Like slack.
Taking the wind out of sails. This judge ain't no chicken. Chicken Eddie's nuggets of justice.
Nugs. Everybody's got to get in nugs these days.
The twee hipster Silicon Valley toy. The AC guy.
Amazon picking up the slack. I like that.
For the record, you're going to be able to hear my Slack go off during the show.
Hey, so. See? That's just, it's a Nat sound. Good Nat sound.
So Amazon picking up the Slack?
Yeah.
You sure you don't want, if a 5-year-old is a manslaughterer?
Maybe yes, I'm pretty sure. I don't want that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for checking.
Hey, just doing my job.
All right.
Do 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 do. Oh, sorry. Those breakfast sausages and bread don't cut it.
We got to eat before the show.
No, that's what I eat before the show.
Oh, you ate that just right before the show?
No, like right after we were done talking to Steve Gibson.
Sort of like around 11.
So I had a breakfast sausage wrapped around one of Dave's, a slice of Dave's killer bread.
You've totally convinced me on Dave's killer bread.
Right? It's like generally I don't like bread because it's like that store-bought stuff because it's so bland and tasteless.
Shane says, this sounds like my grandparents talking.
What?
About the bread? I didn't eat enough. When did you last eat?
Have you seen the doctor?
My lumbago is acting up.
IO9 has a piece imploring women that despite their fandom for Wonder Woman, please remember that putting a sword down the back of your ball gown is for movie professionals and Amazons only. It is not safe.
Yeah, not a real sword anyway.
Please do not put real swords down the back of your ball gown.
I mean, that's fair, right?
Yeah.
She makes it look so easy.
It's like she's tried it 1,000 times before.
Although, to be fair, the top commenter has a really good point that as long as you're not drawing your sword, which you probably shouldn't at a party anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know, build the sheath in there too. You should be totally fine.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of threatening? I mean, people will notice it.
Hey, listen, I was going to say something, but it's only going to start a thing.
Oh, all right.
Know that the punchline was a good guy with a sword.
Yeah.
Billy Mitchell.
Hey, let's talk about something, another thing that's totally uncontroversial. What do y'all think about the new Patreon logo?
Oh, so what's the controversy there? Somebody somebody from the outline contacted me to ask me if I thought it would affect my pledges. And I said, no, I don't.
So the logo's weird.
It's okay.
In a circle. And
it's kind of a Mondrian thing.
Yeah, when you squint, it looks like a P.
Sure.
You know, I don't know. People get really worked up about it.
It's almost like the Twitter thing, right? Like you change something and people are like, because I mean, I was looking at it, I'm like, is there some hidden thing that I'm not seeing that's making people angry? Or is it just that it changed?
Yeah. Patreon was well overdue for a big boy redesign because they had pretty much had the exact same design since it launched when it was a far smaller company than it is now. But to be honest, man, they could make that website look hella uglier, and I would give little care as long as it continued to pay my rent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just because it's a line and a circle?
Yeah. And so you got a lot of armchair designers, making better versions, yeah. quote unquote. And
fair enough.
Really, they're just making allusions to Pong. So it's...
Yeah, it's not my favorite. I don't think it's where I would have gone. But whatever, man. It's Patreon. And also their lead, that's just their logo that shows up in like the favicons and everything.
Yeah.
The dominant representation in the top left-hand corner is just Patreon in a nice font with a line next to it.
Yeah.
So yep. You know, whatever. This might also be a good time to remind everybody that my Patreon, patreon.com/JURY, just went over $1,000 a week.
Hey, congratulations.
a goal I did not think I would ever clear. So thank you.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations. That's great.
So what did you have a goal at that mark or
yeah, and it's a goal that I've been meaning to clarify and change that I didn't that we hit it, so I'm gonna have to figure out exactly how I'm gonna do this, but I'm definitely gonna have to change the goal for 2,000 because that may or may not happen. Well, technically it's kind of already happening. Anywho, I said that I will do 4 In Your House shows a year, which would be me doing house shows and coming into people's living rooms. And
at 1,000? Really?
At 1,000.
Okay.
I'm going to have to massage that a little. Like, I think that there's going to be more shows, not necessarily in your house shows. And I think two trips that result in a couple shows, because I don't think I can afford to do four.
You didn't do the cost analysis.
Four trips a year seems a little excessive.
Maybe they could be in your own house.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for. I think the spirit of the level is just more places where people can see me live.
Yeah,
right.
Jury in Brett Rounceville's house.
Say what?
Or I should do the House of Blues.
Jury in the House of Blues.
Then you can maybe get some free wings or grubs. Actually, how's that, not to go back to Billy Mitchell, but how's his family, like, their food? Is it good?
I loved it. I mean, I to this day love chicken wings, and the first time that I remember loving chicken wings was going to Ricky's Wings in Hollywood, Florida.
Good to know. Probably will never visit, but good to know.
I remembered, I think it might have been closed. Ricky's Wings.
Too successful, or?
It was, yeah. No, Ricky's Wings, still right there in downtown Hollywood. Sports Bar and Grill since 1955, known for its chicken wings.
Well, folks, we're going to end it there. Thanks, everybody, for watching, listening, hanging out. Good to talk to you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Adios.
Goodbye. And don't forget to look at that Steve Gibson exclusive that's already in your Patreon feed at patreon.com/DTNS.